who is the one person who is most detrimental to your sales team? Welcome to Rebellious Ideas, where we bring you one bite-sized, rebellious idea to get your teeth stuck into. This debate started in our leadership war room a few weeks ago, and I wanted to unpack it and take it a little bit further. In this conversation with Renee Delane, Astrid Groves, and Pat Devlin, who are all three extremely experienced and well-respected revenue leaders from the technology industry, we started debating what are some of the hard conversations that potentially we're not having. How should we be managing underperformance? Who is the A player of today versus the A player of old? This conversation really, really, really stuck with me, so I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Now, before we dive into this debate, quick shout out. If you have not heard, our RevUp program for 2026 cohort is starting really soon. For this program, I looked at what are all of the sales capabilities that we need to be able to thrive in the 2026 environment. I curated 10 of the best global leading experts to be able to uplift the capability of your team in live virtual masterclasses for a 12-month pathway. We looked at every single topic from AI to prospecting to influence to emotional intelligence to win-loss analysis. So if you want to check out the details, the link is in the show notes. So back to today, I am going to be handing over to Renee, Astrid and Pat to take you through this debate on who is the A player that you really need in your team for 2026 and what do you need to be doing as a sales leader to really step up in 2026 to lead a high performance sales team.
There's a couple of things that I want to really rebel hard against. And I'm going to say some things that maybe might offend a few people, but I guess you can edit them out in post if you like. So firstly, it's this, I've worked in a lot of big companies, a lot of small companies. I'm really lucky in that sense, right? Done a bunch of startups, worked for big, ugly ones, worked for tiny little ones. And I absolutely hate this idea that I hear from sales managers a lot, which is, we only want A players. I only want to hire A players, right? I don't want the best of the best. None of these C players and B players. So firstly, I absolutely despise this idea that we just label people. Well, you know, what are we like, you know, supermarket produce, you're like A category or B. Or what the hell is that? Like what is an A player anyway? I find it kind of offensive. But then let's say we agree that I only want the best of the best, right? So I only want to hire the best. I only want the best. To a degree, I kind of think at a sales leadership level, what's that saying is I don't want to do anything. Like if you're all great, I don't have to do anything. You just go out and you're the best sellers ever. And I kind of sit back and go, give me a better forecast. Great. Yeah. How's your commit? It's awesome. We're all good. It kind of just, it takes away from the fact that I've got a job to do. And I think the job isn't managing a team of high performers. It's creating a team of high performers. And it's this idea that they're not just out there in the world being A players. It's the, I have a job, a responsibility to grow and create that team. And I see it so much. And I tell you what, I reckon it's largely from sales leaders who've never done the job themselves or lack the confidence to go do it. And so if I'm scared about going on and doing the call and showing you how it works and what to do, then I don't want to have to do that. So I just want you to be awesome at it to begin with. Also think, flip side of this conversation is I think I've, you know, I apologize if you're in HR and you're awesome, but I don't think I've ever met a team with a strong HR. It's like where careers go to die. And it's the, you know, where's the responsibility of HR to fix this? It's like, you know, let's find some good HR people who maybe can help firstly look for good leaders, but also look for good potential in salespeople. So that's my rebellion idea.
I'm aligned with you on that, because I actually think sales is not like a single person sport anymore. It is a team sport. And if you're going to show real value to your customers in this day and age, then it's not just a salesperson. It's you, it's your solution consultant or technical person, it's your back end office, like coming to the front and kind of sharing how they're going to support the customer and what that looks like. Like you can't sell alone. So that whole like A player to me is always like the lone wolf, like the person that was out there and everyone hates them, but they like, you know, made the sales target. So you just like kind of forgave them for it. I think it's unacceptable these days to just kind of have that person in your organization, because A, your customers don't really want them long term. It's a very short kind of, you get the first sale, but you might not get the second one. But I also think that, you know, at the end of the day, they kill the team culture always.
I think you just nailed a point that I'd like to align on, which is, you know, when you talk about an A-type personality, what you're really talking about, in my observation, is that those leaders are hiring like personalities, and that itself breeds a type of culture, and that doesn't necessarily mean the right culture. And when you get success, you've actually got diversity of thought at the table. You bring a whole group of people to really problem solve a customer outcome. And that's what, you know, leadership and hiring and having a high performing team is. So I think the language needs to change. And that high performing team might involve, you know, 3 or 4, 5, 10 different types of personalities. Mm-hmm. And that becomes an A team. So, you know, at the end of the day, is the ultimate seller and the A player a lone wolf? And does that make success for a team and where corporations are going coming into 2026? And I think we're seeing a lot of change and unsettlement, you know, especially in the technology industry and out at our vendors and our channel. And if you went under the root cause, I actually think you've just both, you know, really articulated part of the problem.
It's time to redefine what a good salesperson actually looks like, right? Like, it doesn't look like the person that hits a target by themselves anymore.
Mm. There's an awesome Simon Sinek video, which I think relates to some Navy SEAL story. Have you, I don't know if you've seen this one, which is a graph. It's like, here's how the SEAL Team 6, I think it is, here's how they select the performers. And it's like this matrix of capability and trust.
Mm.
And he's like, up top, top left, you've got high capability, low trust. And that's the A player, the horrible lone wolf A player you're describing. It's like they do well, but they burn everyone along the way. And obviously, I think
especially most of the poor pre-sales guys that are out the back are like, why did you promise this?
I feel like most people have seen it, but it goes, the idea is not new. Like, I think Jack Welch wrote about it in his book, basically saying when you're doing cultural alignment, the high performer, low cultural fit is the absolute first person you've got to get rid of.
Yeah.
Because the danger is that they're engaging your customers, they're growing your business, but they're growing it in a way that's bad. So they're dragging the whole company behind them to a place you don't want to go. So you'd almost rather, this is my point of developing, you get what you get if you get the high performer who's high performing in a cocoon. You grow them, you get this cultural fit, and you've got something amazing that people can watch. They see how you develop people. They also see how you manage someone who's not doing so well. Mm. And I reckon there's this whole performance management piece that nobody talks about either. How many people have been in a company where someone, they have a performance improvement process? They call it a PIP. You ever see someone get pipped and go, oh, I think this is a great opportunity to get better? It's like, oh, my God, I'm 30 days away from getting sacked.
Yeah.
How many people genuinely use the process to improve performance?
Mm.
And if I know that it's just a gateway to get sacked, and I know you're my manager and you pip me, I hate your guts for it. But secondly, I'm not going to invest in the process.
Mm.
If you build a culture that says we genuinely want you to succeed, everybody sees it. And that's, I think that's the thing that people don't get is – They don't always just look to the high performers to see how you're doing stuff. It's the low. How do you treat your worst staff member? Because that's a really big indication of how you're going to treat everybody.
Yeah. But also then you take that other thread is that, you know, you do want a team of good, solid performers. And they actually keep, I'm going to call the foundation of the team healthy. And also when they start to, you know, be invested in and develop, that's where I see your high performers actually come from. Mm. But also coming back to what you said about those poor performers, I've got an example of exactly that. Poor performer then looked at, I'm going to use the word, it has to be a certain type of personality in that poor performer themselves. So I am going to challenge your comment. It does take a personality to be courageous enough, let go of their ego, to step in and say, I want to be in this company. I, for personal reasons or whatever reasons, I'm at the bottom and I'm going on a performance plan, but I will take the guidance and improve. So, you know, you are dealing with personalities of sales, and some egos don't like that and will go, and others will bed down and actually improve and actually turn out to be, in the case that I was privy to, one of the top performers and drove the biggest piece of business for that particular second half. And it was absolutely applauded and acknowledged that that individual invested in themselves and succeeded.
That's so awesome, right? But you had to commit to the process. If it was just a formality before you sacked him, that never would happen, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I just don't think it should be a process at the end. Like, it's the everyday job. Just turn up and manage performance every day. Coach your people. Tell them how to do it.
Mm.
Teach them how to do it. That's like literally your job.
So are we sort of saying that the sort of couple of things we're taking out of this is actually we're redefining what an A player is. An A player is not a lone wolf. They're a team player. We're talking more about getting hands-on, coaching the team, and sort of really getting stuck into the trenches. But the challenge I do see And I work with a lot of businesses, and as a small business myself, the challenge I do see is you only have a certain runway. It's yeah. like, actually, if you take on, like, I would love to take on loads of people that I can invest in, I can develop, and so on. But you also have a number above your head, and you have a certain amount of time in a lot of businesses and a lot of instances of going, actually, I need someone to start delivering. So I think there's also a balance there to bringing on people as emerging talent that you train and invest in, but then also the balance of like...
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you should go hunt for the losers yeah. and then try to build them up.
Build a team of losers,
you want
please.
The best. Yeah. And if they're not doing so well, you want to work with it. Well, if we've got time for a really short story, but basically we had a guy on our team a few companies ago. Let's say, I won't say where, because then it'd be obvious where it is, right? But he was really well loved. Such a cool personality, but terrible, terrible at his job. Mm. And so there's this other concept that, you know, everyone rises to the lowest level that you accept. Yeah. So if we accept that, it kind of drags everyone else down. And it was a real dilemma because he was such a fun guy, right?
Yeah.
So we pulled him in. We told him we're going to put him on a plan. And I have this thing, which is exactly what I just said, but I'll tell you, I promise you this is not a foregone conclusion. I want you to nail it. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm going to coach you every way I can. And so this guy, he knuckled down and he wrote it. The first week he wrote an amazing plan and he really started to nail it. And I was so pleased. And then, because of the culture we'd built, this little posse of the sales team basically hunted me down one afternoon. And they're like, how dare you nail our guy? We love our guy. You know, we heard you're a performance manager. And I said to them, hey, this is a process. I really want him to win. And the best thing you can do is let's not keep it a secret. You all know he's told you.
Yeah.
Get on board with him. Coach him. And they're like, you know what? We will. We're going to prove to you what a legend, you know, this guy can be. And he's going to be amazing. So week two, they all got together. They did a planning session with him. And it was even better than week one. And I'm like, man, this is going to be a story I wrote about how legendary manager I am. I've turned the guy around. Anyway, week three, they're all hyped up, ready to do his next coaching session, and he just doesn't show up. And they're calling him going, man, what's going on? We're so excited. We've made such good progress. He's like, nah, I couldn't be bothered. Yeah. And this was the guy who we're performance matching. And this is the reason he'd go for these spurts of energy and then just not be able to deliver. And he just kind of ran out of steam. He wasn't really engaged, wasn't interested. They pushed hard again in week four. And then the end, that same posse came to me and said, you know what? We love him, but I think you should let him go.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously I don't engage in that private conversation, but what I loved about it is the culture tried to help. The culture saw what was going on, and nobody at the point, he actually ended up saying, you know, I'm going to self-select out, which is it sounds horrible. It's my favorite thing, because then I give you a hug. I say, hey, I like you. I like what you can do. Yeah. It's just you can't do it here. And yeah. I want to help you do the next thing.
Just the right person in the wrong job.
One of the brave
right?
managers mm. that actually mm. does performance manage out. So I think, you know, the unspoken element here is there's a lot of mediocre performers in great companies that are still there, not necessarily being managed out because whether the leader is time poor, doesn't have the time. And you talked about the group keeping them elevated.
Yeah.
And I do think that's got to be part of going into 2026 to really look at a high-performing team, if that's what you want to call it, or a cohesive team, mm. is, you know, who is actually showing up and therefore who's the weakest links, and am I investing in and really looking at the key skills of all my team and making them better? And I do think that's what leaders need to do, is how do we leave that legacy of having the best performance coming out of our individuals with their unique qualities. Mm. And that takes time. And you just said before, in a time, you know, poor environment we are all in, that's the difficulty.
It's crazy hard. Mm. But then the other idea that I really hold dear, and it doesn't always work, especially when you're in a small company, is that everyone has value. And can I get that value out of you? We used to say over and over again, which is a terrible way of putting it, and I can't think of a better way, but we'd say we don't discard people. You're here because you did something well, and if I've put you in a role and you can't do that well, part of it's on me, right? I got to figure out what you're good at. We sometimes would flip people from sales to channel to marketing or something, and they'd bomb at their new role. And how horrible would it be if you're a legendary marketer, I make you a salesperson, then you suck at sales. And then there's no other path for you. I'm sorry, I filled your marketing job. But whose fault is that? That's me. I put you there, right? So it doesn't mean it always works out. There's not always a fairy tale at the end. But I kind of feel like we owe it to people. And I reckon we've kind of, I don't know, it's as the years have gone by, I see less and less empathy from leaders. And it's back to that comment. Like they're like, oh, I don't want any players. You know, I don't care. I don't want to have to deal with you. Don't stop whinging. There's no, have you ever heard this thing? There's no crying in sales. I've heard that a lot.
There's no crying in sales.
Yeah, there's no crying in sales.
Cry
there's lots
now.
Of crying in sales. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You ever watch a Stanley Cup final? They all cry when they lose. Yeah. These are elite athletes, man.
There's a lot of crying in sales.
You should care.
Yeah. If you care, there's emotions, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. It's super hard. And I 100% agree. There's people don't want to have the hard conversation. And so they often carry these players. But it's... When have you in your career, I mean, I think we've all sold at some point, right? When have you in your career had someone genuinely sit down with you and talk about low performance and what you could do before it became a sackable issue?
Yeah.
It's like, don't you owe it to them to nudge them in the right direction early? And that's a hard conversation to have, but we're not having it. And so what ends up happening is this person we all know sucks. We've got to get rid of them, but we can't do it because we've just let it go so long.
Yeah. Mm.
I hope you enjoyed that rebellious idea. If you need some extra help with your 2026 planning, there is a link in the show notes to our Chief Revenue Officer Underground Playbook with 10 unconventional questions to challenge your thinking, but also access to what are the trends that are already emerging for 2026 that you need to be across. We also have the link, as I mentioned earlier, to details of our RevUp program, if that's of interest. And finally, do not forget to subscribe because we have got the most incredible guests coming your way in 2026.